Riders on the storm, riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road.
Welcome to a Black Mask audio file. This is the storm before the storm, and I need to explain that because there's a lot of things happening that really are critical. Now, the revolution is obviously the Trump election. That has changed the narrative. That has also changed in a significant way the direction of America. Most importantly is Trump's desire to not get America in any wars and get them out of existing wars. Now, that only comes with the storm before the storm, which means peace through strength. You have to defeat an enemy. You know, it's ridiculous in this day and age that we have these wars that go on and on and on. And before there's a resolution, before there is a victor, we negotiate a peace. But the peace doesn't last because the issues are not resolved. The power struggle still continues. You only can have peace when your enemy is totally devastated, and the leaders that have poisoned the people, that have made them crazy, that have caused them to become murderous mobs and militants like the Nazis as a primary example, only happens after you defeat them. And you round up all the Nazis and you hang them from a rope. Okay, it's called war crimes and war criminals. And as one of the Nazis very eloquently pointed out before he was hung, he said, if we had won the war, you would be the war criminals, not us. War is not a humanitarian exercise. There is no such thing as a humanitarian war. There is no such thing as civilian war. There are degrees of savagery. There are degrees of sometimes shocking the consciousness of evil that goes on in a war. But by definition, war is a crime against humanity. It's a question if it's first-degree murder or second-degree murder. It's a debate that will always go on in history. But now let's talk about the war we face right now, and that is the two-front wars in the Middle East and in Europe. Critical to understand what's happened is Israel has had an amazing victory. The reason why Israel never took out the Iran nukes was because they were afraid of Hezbollah's hundreds of thousands of rockets buried in deep caves in Lebanon. These were devastating rockets, and the belief was that Hezbollah could launch thousands of rockets and completely overwhelm Israel defense systems and bring its major cities like Haifa and Tel Aviv to ruin. Never happened. Never happened. It was a myth. It was a fairy tale. As a result of that, Hezbollah is on its back legs. It is in deep trouble. Now, sometimes you can have the storm before the storm. And what happens is instead of defeating your enemy, and you can follow what a famous general said by the name of Caesar, and he was fighting the savages, the whores at the gates, the Germans. And they were the savages. And he said, when you get a German down, you put your foot on his neck and you don't let him up. Now, repeatedly with these terrorist Islamic radical organizations, mankind has chose to take their foot off the neck, and they reformulate, and they come alive again. Now, for 75 years, the Islamic crazies have started wars with Israel. And every time they've been defeated, and every time they've lost land, and they've lost power, and they've lost influence, and they reconstitute themselves, they never will learn. You're not going to defeat people who are smarter than you, who are more united with you, and who are on the side of right. There's a famous saying that says, I'd much rather be on the side of the angels than on the side of the devils. Now, the devil has his army, And these are the murderous savages of Islam. They've been poisoned. You know, when you look at the map of the world and you realize the amazing resources in the Islamic countries, the amazing amount of cash flow with no work, the amazing gift they've given of these vast oil reserves, and you look at what they've done with them, they've squandered the wealth. Either they've squandered it on these military incursions. By the way, I mentioned, Mr. Iranians, on hypersonic rockets that got shot down without doing any damage, and on militias that were supposed to join in the fight, like the Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Hamas, who never showed up, and nuclear reactors that keep getting bombed, and defense systems costing billions of dollars that don't defend you. Look at the miracle of Saudi Arabia and Dubai. I mean, these kingdoms have vast amounts of money. The populations are oppressed. The youth are unemployed. They build these magnificent, glorious, gold-lilied buildings and skyscrapers that do nothing to advance the society. You know, it's very interesting. When you look at people and how they spend their money, you got a rap star. He goes, Jamo-fo-hoy-jamo-bo-bo. I mean, to me, it's not a song. It's just some black guy spitting in a microphone, but each his own. What do they do with their wealth? Well, they murder other rap stars. They buy Rolls Royces and mansions. They rape women, drug them. And basically, the wealth does nothing. Now, look at your high-tech people. They make more investments. They make things grow. They produce things. And, you know, Steve Jobs is a great example. And Warren Buffett, they live relatively modest lifestyles. So do you want to squander your life on bling and violence and terrorism, or do you want to advance society? And overwhelmingly, Islam has decided to squander his wealth. Now, we're at a very important crossroads here because the axis of evil, Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, Islamic other brotherhoods, and other terrorist organizations are in trouble. The nuclear ambitions of Iran are about to be stopped. The war is being taken to them. Trump is in power, and he well understands that the last thing the world needs is nuclear Iran, and he will stitch them up. Part of it is putting together these weapons programs costs a lot of money. War is a very expensive proposition. And ultimately, wars are won by the side that can throw the most men, the most materials, and the most money into warfare. And obviously, they're at a big deficit among the warring countries of the world. Russia? Vast resources. I mean, vast resources. Landmass, the largest country in the world. They have oil throughout the country, including the Arctic Circle. Where's that wealth going? Population starved. The males between the ages of 20 and 40 are being wiped out. And in the attempt to rebuild the Soviet Empire, the economy's been devastated for nothing. Look at North Korea. It is run by a freaking maniac, Kim Jong Nunchucks. What has he done with the wealth in the country? The people are slaves. He has devastated the wealth and development of the country. They live in the dark ages. So these countries become desperate. Venezuela is another example. Do you know how Venezuela is pumping its oil? It has these vast oil sands, oil tar rather. Vast reserve. I've been there. There are literally lakes of oil. The pumps are broken. The pipelines aren't there. They're digging them out with bulldozers and loading them in dump trucks and taking them to export markets. It's ridiculous. The same thing with Iran. They're not developing the vast reserves that they have not even been explored yet. And what oil they are exporting, 3 million barrels a day, goes to 60% of the money spent on their war effort. I mean, it's huge numbers. Now, let's look at the other war that we have with the Ukraine. Same situation. They are fighting for nothing. Russia doesn't need the land. It's trying to rebuild the Soviet Empire. And it has devastated its economy. It's also devastated Ukraine. But there's a new sheriff in town. And this is the point of this whole a little audio file I want to give you, and that is that people are coming to power that understand that this cannot be allowed to happen and that it can be prevented. If you cut off the money for real to Russia and really stop their oil exports, they can't fund their war effort. If you do not provide money to the Ukrainians and weapons, they can't fight the war. So what you can do is force a situation where they've got to come to peace. Unfortunately, because of the mistakes made, the peace will not be at the best terms for Ukraine. They're going to lose the Donbas region anyway it goes. Israel. There was a chance for a two-state solution. How do you have a two-state solution with an enemy that's sworn your death? It doesn't work. So they will be soundly defeated again. You'll put them back, the genie, back in the bottle, and it'll take another couple generations before they raise their ugly head in warfare again. So the point here is that the defeat of Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis is before us. And Israel, with technology and perseverance, a lot of money, has once again prevailed. That is the reality here. So as you're looking at the storm before the storm or the war before the war, realize that there are forces at work trying to stop the peace process. Biden's hatred and Mohammed Obama's hatred of Trump is something like never seen before. And they're doing everything possible to stop the peace deal, including upping the ante in the war and allowing longer range weapons, which are really medium range weapons, to be used on Russian soil. This is an escalation. It won't work because help is on the way in 60 days. Trump will be in power and we can reverse this. In Israel, instead of pushing forward for a peace deal that is not favorable to the Houthis, Hamas, and Hezbollah, the World Court has issued an arrest warrant for Israel's leaders for war crimes. The International Court of Justice has a limited number of members, but they've issued a red letter, which is a wanted warrant from Interpol. But it's not enforceable in all countries because, for example, the United States is not a member of the International Criminal Court. So the situation is one that forces at work to stop a peace process that's very close. Iran realizes that it's been stitched up. Iran has no defense. Its first line of defense was Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis, and they've been soundly reduced to rubble. They will make a peace deal, kicking and screaming all the way. Now, until then, more leaders will get bombed, more human shields will be sacrificed, more hospitals that are terrorist congregation centers, more ambulances that are basically the Uber taxi for terrorists, more mosques that are terrorist recruitment centers, training centers, and arms storage centers will be devastated. But peace is within 60 days away. So we're very close to a new world. And that will be the doctrine of peace through strength that Trump understands and liberal lefties refuse to understand. I think they have some kind of chromosome damage somewhere along the line. So we are predicting an astounding earth-changing change. Now, that has implications for oil, and I will be doing more on that to you today. There's also confusion. The arrest warrant is a nothing burger for Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. The hypersonic missiles that Russia is using as they escalate the missile warfare in the Ukraine, again, is not a game changer. But the markets have got it wrong, which gives us enormous opportunity. So my point of this is that truly, it is the storm before the storm. Truly, the world is going to be a different place in a matter of weeks.
It's squirming like a toad. Take a long-